to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, folks, here we are at the end of April and the beginning of May. And right now, the headline for most of the world is the same topic, the swine flu. For everybody listening, this is going to be a special broadcast that is going to address this very thing, the swine flu. I have been seeking God, and I have also been doing a lot of research, folks, because I want to bring to the light of what this thing really is, and we're going to address those things. Now, brethren, think about this. Many parts of planet Earth are on lockdown from a tiny little bug and virus that we cannot see. In some places, there is great fear. The status quo and the day-to-day living of millions of people has grinded to a halt. Mexico is basically shut down right now, and that's spreading here to the United States. As I am up here on the wall, looking out, scanning the horizon, I see a lot of restless activity, brethren. Many are wondering, just how bad will this pandemic be? There's a lot of questions out there. Folks, it's real interesting that there are many ominous events going on right now. And in order to make an assessment of this flu situation, I need to evaluate the many stories that are coming out about this flu. Now, the interesting thing that I find about many of these stories is that they are conflicting with one another. Some stories are really showing how people are sick and how there is lockdown. And then there's other stories that are showing that the government agencies are overreacting about this. In fact, some European newspapers are actually saying that the flu does not really exist, or they say that it is a conspiracy to raise fear or hype, but they're not saying why they believe that. Some alternative media sources are saying that this entire event is a ruse, a dramatic production to prepare the public for the big one that's coming in the next year or two. They accuse this story of being a red herring, a distraction to temper the public to the real news. The real news, like Chrysler is now bankrupt, or that the economy shrank over 6% in the first quarter of 2009, essentially depressing level numbers. Brethren, there are a lot of things to consider. So in this broadcast, I want to be reasonable and level-headed. But at the same time, I still maintain, and I believe that they, those that are in the governments of the earth, are still up to their plan to bring about the New World Order. And I still maintain that they intend to get us there through a major event. God has revealed that these events are coming. So, brethren, please get a pen and paper, get your Bibles, and also when you're done listening to this, I ask you to please share this with as many people as you can. Now, I want to say this right off the bat, brethren. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God does allow things to turn our focus back to Him. And this is one of those things that is happening right now. Now, I need to be very clear. I'm going to be sharing some of the potential players that are involved in this matter. Now, that does not nullify that this entire event is being sent by God. Brethren, bottom line, the judgment of God has arrived upon the land. And if you've been with me long enough, you have heard me talk about it over and over that it was approaching and that it was coming. Now, why is the judgment of God arriving? If you're new to this broadcast, you may be asking the question, what do you mean judgment of God? What are you talking about? Why is God sending judgment? Let me tell you why, folks. It's because of a simple word. Sin. Sin that is tolerated in the church. Sin that is ignored in the church. Sin that is winked at in the church. Sin that is ignored by many, many big name preachers on your TV. And also sin that has been ignored by the millions and millions of Christians here in America that went to Lakeland to see the clown and liar Todd Bentley. I remember hearing Todd Bentley say that we don't need more of Jesus, we just need more of the supernatural. And millions of Christians continued to follow him in spite of that, and still they are following him. Possibly it was you. But in addition to that devil man, there are many other deceitful liars out there, folks. Members of the NAR, which is the New Apostolic Reformation, people like Rick Joyner, Patricia King, and other false preachers that winked at what Todd Bentley was doing. They're all over the place, folks. They're all over your TV set. They're on your radio, and many of you follow these men. people like Kim Clement, the person that had the audacity to say that he's a New Testament prophet and that it's more fun to be a New Testament prophet because you don't have to deal with repentance. Folks, you want to know why the cup of iniquity is full? Turn on TBN and you'll see. And I submit this to you, my friends. As this story continues to be written on the headlines and on the news and on the cable TV networks, you will not hear many TV preachers say that it's the hand of God in judgment. You won't hear it in many churches, and for sure you will not hear it from the world, on the news, from the politicians. But what you will hear is how more states are legalizing homosexual marriages and gay rights, thus sealing the fate of many. And here's the sad part. Many of those that will perish could have been hidden and protected by God, but they chose their own way. Will you be one of them, my friends? Will you and your family be hidden? Folks, these things are happening before our very eyes, and it is time that the Church of God realized who they were, that they are not permanent citizens of this planet. Now, we're going to be visiting a lot of things, a lot of different subjects, and a lot of topics in this broadcast. For those of you that are new, if you've never heard me before, my website is watchmanscry.com. Please go to my website if you have any questions or if you don't understand what I'm talking about as far as the judgment of God. And I have many other audios that address these things. There's articles there. There are prophetic visions and dreams and words that God has given me to share with the world, to warn. Go there, please, and read them, folks. So here we are. The judgment has arrived. Think about this. You have been hearing the warning message that the judgment was coming. Here it is, folks. We have walked through the threshold. When we talk about the judgment of God, it is no longer in the context of it may arrive, or perhaps it will arrive, or I have a feeling that something's coming. No, no, no. The judgment of God has come upon this land. We are there, folks. We are in a new season. And we're talking about life and death here, brethren. So please listen to the words that I have to share here and take every one of these matters to God in prayer. And I am going to be challenging you to step up your Christianity in ways that you have never, ever possibly done in your life, because that's where we are now. Now, getting back to the swine flu, in addressing this entire matter, it has to be said that it is very complex. And there are different elements of this whole story that are involved in this situation. At the very top, God is involved. His sovereignty is allowing and guiding these events to happen. Below him, also involved, are principalities, powers, demonic entities that are being allowed to do these things on planet Earth. And then under them, we have people in high places. The elite of the world, if you will. The elite of the world that are proud and haughty and think that they control everything. The elite of the world that have sold their souls to demonic entities and to Satan. You've heard of these people, folks. The globalists. Those that want the New World Order. And then under them, we have the regular people. The residents of planet Earth. By the way, most of the earthlings in this group, the sheeple, if you will, are mostly clueless. And they are willingly clueless and blind. This group may have non-Christians in it, and may also have apostate dead carcass Christians that hate the truth. And then, in this group, there are also other subgroups. But I'm just breaking down the different groups, folks, because everybody is involved in this story right now. And I have heard some people say and blame that it's the globalists that are doing all of these things, but it's not just the globalists that are doing this, folks. God is sovereign and he is allowing these things. But when he carries out his will in judgment, he does use the players of the world. So that's why I am explaining this. Now, in addition to all the groups that I just mentioned, there is the prized group, those that are called the elect of God, his remnant. And the remnant is most of you that are listening. Your eyes have been opened, and you're aware, you hear his voice, and you're preparing. The messengers, the watchmen, the wise men, the scribes are also part of the remnant group. We're a family, brethren, and we have a lot of work to do. Now, number one, in understanding this entire matter and in trying to make sense of everything, if you were trying to explain it to somebody, this is one thing that you might want to share with him. Number one, brethren, God has warned for years that judgment was coming. When you look at the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, it says, when a land sins by trespassing grievously against the laws of God, he will send the fourfold judgment. It's found in Ezekiel 14, Ezekiel 5, as well as other places in the Bible. Now, it's established he sends four categories of judgment. He sends famine, he sends evil wild beasts, he sends pestilence, and he sends the sword. I've talked in detail about these things in my other audios. So if you want more information, go to my website in the audio page and listen to those other audios about it. Also on my front page, there are links to articles that talk about this thing as well. Now this is what's happening, folks. God allows these judgments to come to purge His church and to chastise the wayward, to bring us back to Him. He does it so that we can learn faith and righteousness and holiness, and so that we will seek forgiveness and restoration. When the judgments of God are upon the world, then the residents of the world learn righteousness. That's in Isaiah. So the whole purpose of this thing is so that the people of God and those that are backslidden and those that don't know Him and that are wayward can return to Him or come to Him. That's the bottom line of this whole matter. It's not because God is some evil deity up in heaven like Zeus throwing lightning bolts for His own pleasure. No, no, folks. God is doing this because He loves us. So that's the bottom line of this whole matter. So it would be very sad for us to endure this season and to try to leave out God. It's impossible, brethren. The whole reason it's occurring is because of God and our relationship with Him. Now, in addition to judgments, we are also witnessing Bible prophecy in action as well, brethren. Because right now, folks, we have events that are coming together that are going to result in the coming tribulation period and the prophecies that we read in the book of Revelation. And these things are going to happen, and they're down the road, and they are fast approaching. How far in the future are they? I don't know, brethren. That part I don't know, but right now, we are in the time of sorrows. We are in the time of birth pangs, the preliminary. So our season of judgment is before the terror of Revelation even begins or gets started. So in other words, folks, think about this. We have not even seen anything yet. The fourfold judgment is just getting started here in America and across the world. So for those of you that wonder what's going on, and for those of you that wonder the timeline, well, Bible prophecy tells us that eventually the New World Order beast will arise from the sea. Revelation 13 talks about it. It says, I stood at the sand of the sea, and a beast came out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, when this beast rises up from the sea, and by the way, this beast entity is the last empire world government that's going to be in this world before Jesus returns. It's an empire, folks. The beast is going to consist of every nation of the world, and it's going to be divided in 10 different regions, and I have talked about that in detail in other audios and in other articles. But this is the part that I want to focus on. When that beast rises up in Revelation, the Bible doesn't say why it rose up. It doesn't say what caused the earth to agree to it rising up. It doesn't say why everyone went for it. It just says it rose up. So we know it's going to rise up. So here's a tidbit of information for you folks. The reason that it rose up, the why of it rising up, is becoming our daily news right now. It's in the headlines of the paper. Now, when this beast rises up, it's going to be a horrible, horrible dictatorship. It's going to be socialist and fascist. We will not be free. We will be living in a police state. The entire world will be in lockdown. It will be a dictatorship, folks, where there's no freedom. A lot of people may ask the question, why on earth would the residents of this planet go for such a plan to live under a dictatorship? And that's a good question, folks. So we need to realize that some calamity, some perilous events are going to cause this thing to happen. And right now, folks, we're seeing it happen. Today's present economic crisis and other coming events are going to result in the New World Order beast. It's happening before our very eyes. The New World Order is forming right now, today, in front of us, brethren. And God is allowing these things to happen to fulfill prophecy. Getting back to the swine flu pandemic. This pandemic is also a part of it. This pandemic flu has an end game, a goal. Major changes are happening worldwide because of this thing, folks. And it's amazing how quickly legislation is being written to deal with this pandemic. Legislation that is going to remove your freedoms and my freedoms. We are living indeed in very, very perilous times. Now, those of you that can remember, a few months ago on February the 2nd, I posted a prophetic dream that God gave me about the Statue of Liberty being decapitated. When I dealt with that prophetic dream back then, I prayed and I sought God about it. And what God told me was that several events are going to come, and I believe it's 3 events, folks. And when those events come, it's going to cause legislation to be written that will forever change our freedoms here in America, thus fulfilling the dream that liberty will be decapitated. And that legislation is going to be done on Capitol Hill. I believe my audio 126 goes into detail about that. But laws are coming to forever change this nation. And in this year of 2009, we are going to be seeing a lot of changes, and we're seeing them even now. The final nails in the coffin are being forged as we speak, folks. So what's coming? What are all the three events that are coming? I asked God about that, and he would not tell me. In the natural, many people would say, well, Congress would not pass laws that would take away the constitutional freedoms. Well, an interesting thing is happening in the last few days, folks. Have you heard on the news how Senator Arlen Specter is changing his party affiliation? He was once a Republican, and now he's going to turn into a Democrat. And then we also have Al Franken, who won Minnesota. It's been in limbo, but it looks like he's going to be awarded that Senate seat, which will give the Democrats 60 seats in the Senate, which will give them a majority, and it will also mean that any bill that they write cannot be stopped by a filibuster. A filibuster is where the opposing party that's part of the minority can allow a bill to stay in limbo by just talking about it for long lengths of time until they just give up and they don't vote on it. That's a filibuster. But the way that it is turning out, 60 Senate seats for the Democrats will allow them to just bulldoze any legislation that Obama wants right through the Senate. You see, folks, all the pieces are coming together for this thing to happen. And when God warns, he warns for a reason, because he wants us to be prepared and because he loves you and he has compassion and he wants all of us to prepare our hearts in advance. So, folks, I really believe that we're going to be seeing some horrible legislation get passed in the days ahead. Now, regarding this bug, let's talk about the swine flu. Many ask the question, where did this virus come from? Have you wondered about that, folks? Are you believing what they're telling us on the news? Do you believe what you've heard, that it came from a pig farm? Because after all, it is swine flu. Now, as I was saying, when God sends judgment, it's him that sends it. But he does use humans to carry it out. And that's one of the common rules in the way that God deals with us, with man. God most of the time uses human agency to carry out his will. When he judged Israel, he would raise up enemies, neighboring kingdoms to invade them to carry out his judgment upon his people. And the present judgment will be no different. Now, sometimes the judgment has events that are from nature, like storms, earthquakes, floods, etc. And those are obviously divine powers that are doing that. But he also judges through the use of evil men, through human agency. Now, here's something to think about, folks. When we look at the fourfold judgment and the four different categories of famine, evil beasts, the sword, which is war, and pestilence, we might ask the question, well, out of those four categories, which areas have man's involvement and which of them does he use just powers of darkness or his own hand, like weather? Well, let's visit that real quick. When we talk about famine, famine is a combination of weather, drought, about the clouds shutting up the heavens so that no water falls to the earth. That's obviously divine. But famine can also be a combination of that and economies that collapse, or food distribution, because evil people do not allow food to arrive to those that need it. Now, in the coming economic collapse, and actually in the present economic collapse, I should say, it's going to involve men making foolish economic choices. And we're seeing that right now, folks. Now, as we look at the coming collapse of the dollar, we can see that the cause can be the results of the present suicidal policies that the Fed is doing. Tim Geithner, and before him, Hank Paulson. So man is involved and can be involved in the coming economic collapse, which is going to result in famine, which will result in people standing in line for food and not having any food. As we look at the evil beast judgment, those of you that have heard me explain and talk about this, in the past we saw that it was Old Testament Israel being attacked by wild animals, but God has opened my eyes and showed me that here in the New Testament, it is going to be fulfilled by demonic entities that are possessing men to do horrible things to people here in the United States and all over the world. So that's demons involved with people to carry out that judgment. And then when we look at the sword judgment, that's war. That's military oppression. That's vexation by tyrants and powers that be. So that can be fulfilled by martial law, by police state, or invading armies, or by sending our boys to another country to die in a new war, which is also the involvement of humans. And then we get to the pestilence, to the plague, the disease. As we look at this thing, folks, pandemic is transmitted by virus, infection, sickness. But here's the million-dollar question for this part of the judgment. Where did the virus come from? Have you thought about it, folks? Have you heard what it is? Now, they say it's a combination of avian bird flu mixed with swine flu mixed with human flu. It seems that daily that story keeps being revised and changed. Recently, I heard that there are elements, segments, if you will, in the virus strand of Euro-Asian swine flu also included in the mix. So what do you think, folks? Is it possible in nature by chance? Well, let's think about this, folks. For a swine flu in Mexico, on some remote village where pigs are being raised, is it possible for this swine flu to merge itself with a swine flu from Asia? Because that's what they're saying this thing has. It has swine flu from the other side of the world. And also, can it merge itself with bird flu and human flu? This thing is a Frankenstein mix of different viruses. I would say the faith needed to believe that story takes a long stretch and a very large leap. There's a United Nations doctor that has already said that this thing is from the lab. It has been made by man. It's man-made. And I tend to agree. In fact, listen to this report right here.
An investigative journalist from Washington, Wayne Madsen, says the outbreak of the virus is raising suspicion.
I spoke to two journalists, one from Mexico City and the other one from Jakarta, Indonesia. And, of course, Indonesia had a problem not long ago with bird flu. Both these journalists have been in touch with UN and World Health Organization officials, including a scientist who's dealt with Ebola virus and HIV/AIDS in Africa. And it's their conclusion, these scientists who they've spoken to, that this is a very unusual form of flu because it looks like it is a product of some gene splicing. The flu contains elements of bird flu, two forms of human flu, and various forms of swine flu. To them, it doesn't look like this is naturally occurring. The other thing is the target for this flu, as opposed to other flus, it's not the very young and the very old. It's people between the ages of 20 and 45. And the other thing is people are not contracting this from pigs. The National Pork Council here in America says pigs are not being affected. This is human-to-human contact. So people who either eat pork or are exposed to pigs are not getting this flu. Very unusual. Of course, the scientists are very alarmed by the way it's being spread and the speed at which it's being spread.
Okay, did you hear that, folks? That's very interesting, isn't it? Brethren, I need to say this. If our eyes are truly open to the evils of this world, we have to look past partisanship to believe that people in our government would never, ever do bad things to hurt us. And I've noticed that you can go to many parts of the world where they have tyrannical governments, and the citizens of those nations will tell you plain and simple that the leaders of our government are evil, evil men. They're demon men. They're devil men. They murder, they kill, they maim, they rob, they poach, and they bleed their country dry of all its resources and wealth and riches. Most of the world knows that their leaders do that. But here in America, for some reason, there's a blindness that is upon many, many people, especially evangelical Christians, who have an idea that the Republican Party is made up of Christians that would never, ever do that sort of thing. And folks, if you look at history, if you are willing to look at history and open your eyes and see the many, many recorded stories that are documented, that our government has done very, very evil experiments on people for years, for the past 100 years. They have purposely poisoned groups of people. They've given black people syphilis in the past just to see what would happen. They've injected children with diseases to see what would happen. They've injected homeless people under the guise of vaccine and inoculation diseases just to see what would happen. This thing is beyond debate, folks. And if we're the true remnant of God, and if we look at Revelation and see how evil the world powers are going to be, where they behead people for not going along with what they want, how can a Christian look at Revelation and see that the final empire of the earth is going to be decapitating people, but still they would deny that our U.S. government would do anything that would be seen as bad or evil? Folks, our eyes need to be open. This world belongs to Satan. There are evil entities of this world, and many of the leaders, even in our U.S. government, yes, folks, I'm sorry to say it, are evil and demonic, and they have sold their souls to powers of darkness. Those of you that are part of the remnant of the elect of God, your eyes are open because you have already seen what's going on. Now, getting back to the swine flu, part of the equation involves evil men. The elite of this world in very high places are on record saying that they want a new world order. Pretty much every leader that has shown up at the G20 summit or the G8 summit, they have talked about how we need a new world order, a global government, and a new currency. Obama has said it. His foreign policy advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, has said it. And it's interesting that most of Obama's cabinet members are also members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a group of men that do want global government. Folks, it's happening before our very eyes right now as we speak. Now, for those of you that have short memories, George Bush also said it. His papa said it. They're all globalists, folks. They all sold out to the evil plan of the New World Order, the one world beast government. Now, brethren, did you hear what I said? Those of you that are new to this program, You may be shocked that I mentioned George Bush, the ex-president, who was supposedly a Christian Republican, saying that he was part of the New World Order plan. And I'm sorry, it's really true. The two-party system, Democrats and Republicans, have proven themselves to be a fairy tale lie, where you have representatives of both parties dealing with superficial surface issues, but behind the scenes agreeing on the big picture, the big plan to get us to a global government. Now, if what I'm saying right now offends some of you, you're a Republican, a diehard patriot, and you don't like me saying that, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you, but you know what? I am here to tell you the truth. I know that it's not easy to hear these things. It is not easy to know that you've been lied to. It hurts. It hurts to know that you've been betrayed. It hurt me too, folks. I had to go through the awakening process several years ago, and it did hurt. I was disappointed. But now that my eyes have been opened, I want to shout it from the housetops to reveal that it's all a sham and it's not true what they're telling us. Now, that being said, the Republican Party has also been part of the global plan. In understanding the swine flu and this pandemic and what is going on in this world, I have to take us back to some plans that were laid in motion, some foundational plans that occurred over 10 years ago. Now, you see, folks, the deeper you dig, the farther you go down into the rabbit hole, it's not pretty what you find. It's very disappointing, folks. I'm not going to tell you things that are rumor. I'm going to tell you things that are true. Now, during the presidency of Bill Clinton during the 90s, after Daddy Bush lost the election and then Clinton was the president for 8 years, during that time, many of the people that worked for Daddy Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney, and others, they got together and they put their heads together and they started a think tank. And they asked the question, what does the United States need to do to maintain its empire status in the world? And they came up with a plan to keep us the number one world superpower. And they published it, folks. They made documents that talked about doing this thing. And they made a website about it. That website has been taken down, but you can still find their documents on the internet very easily. Now, this plan was called the Project for a New American Century. And those of you that have a pen and paper, write that down so you can Google it after you're done listening to me. Write that down. Project for a New American Century, or write down PNAC or PNAC. That's what it goes by. Now, in that brain trust think tank, they came up with a document called Rebuilding America's Defenses. It's fairly long. I believe it's 70 to 90 pages long. And in there, they spell out what the United States needed to do to stay a world power. Now, after Clinton was done being the president and W became the president, George Bush, he hired those same individuals. He made them a part of his administration. And for the last 8 years, the United States has been trying to do those things. It hasn't gone away, folks. But let me tell you some of the things that are written in this document. They're devilish. Now, we went into Iraq because we accused them of having weapons of mass destruction, which were dated canisters of sarin gas. And we looked all over the country and we never found them because that story was made up and it's documented now. It's beyond debate. The past administration made up that accusation and it turned out to be a lie. But we went in there because this group, the Project for a New American Century, the PNAC document, said that's what we needed to do. We needed to build bases in the Middle East. We needed to extend our reach into the Middle East. And that document also said that we needed to be able to fight two theaters at once. And it also said that we needed a new Pearl Harbor event to allow us to spend a lot of money on new 21st century military weapons. But on page 60 of that document, folks, and this is my point, this is what I'm getting at. On page 60 of that document, it says that a politically useful tool would be a bioweapon that is race specific. In other words, if our U.S. government in their labs can create a biological weapon that targets certain races and not others, that would be a great weapon. Now let me explain what that means. That means that if you had a vial with a certain virus and you go into a bus terminal and you open it up and wave it around so that the virus is released, that virus, in this example, would target black people. So all the black people that smelled the virus and inhaled it would die, while white people or Asians or Hispanics would not die. That's what that means, folks. Now, how much hypocrisy is that, brethren? Think about that. We invaded Iraq because we accused them of having bioweapons, while at the same time, Dick Cheney, who was one of the signers of the PNAC document, had a plan to have weapons that target certain races. Folks, the United States government has very, very dark stains. We are not the white hat wearing country like many people think we are. It's very sad. Now, in 1990, the U.S. Department of Energy with the National Institute of Health started the Human Genome Project. And it took them 13 years. What they wanted to do was map the DNA, the genetics of a human being, and they accomplished it. In 2003, they finished it. Human DNA was mapped, folks. So now it's possible to understand how certain races of people show up in the DNA strand. And it's now possible to make custom weapons, custom viruses that can target certain races. Developing a germ that kills certain races of people. Now, I have a question. What is the race of most of the people that are dying right now? Now, we heard that the swine flu started in Mexico, and of course, it's Mexicans. Those are the ones that are dying. A lot of the people in the United States that have been receiving the swine flu or that are infected with it have not died yet. So that raises the question, is this swine flu virus also targeted to infect Hispanics or people of Mexican heritage? It's a big question, folks. I don't think it's a coincidence that we're seeing this thing happen right now. Now, several years ago, Army scientists went up to Alaska to try to find people that had died of the Spanish flu in 1917 and 1918, and they were able to exhume some bodies where the virus was on their cadavers, and they were able to get samples of the virus of the Spanish flu, and they took it back to their lab, and they've been playing with it ever since. Is that just a coincidence? By the way, the Spanish flu that killed 40 to 50 million, I've heard the number as high as 100 million people in 1918, that flu is also really a swine flu, just like the one today. Is it possible that there are segments of that Spanish flu inside the flu that is in Mexico and now starting to affect us right now? We have to really ask that question because there are evil men in high places that would love to bring us about to the New World Order. Now, I'm throwing out some information and news reports and accusations that some of you may say that's hearsay, that's rumor, that's not true. Folks, you can Google all the stuff that I'm telling you. It's true. That's why I told you to have a pen and paper, to be taking notes. If you haven't taken the notes, go back, listen to it again, and then you do your own research. But I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. It's not rumor. Another event that occurred about a month ago was Baxter, the vaccine company, who has labs all over the world, Baxter International, approximately 1 month ago, sent a package of the H5N1 bird flu and the swine flu to several of their subcontractors all over Europe, including Germany and the Czech Republic. So it went from Austria, but there was one individual in the Czech Republic that got this vaccine package, and he opened it up and he decided to test it on ferrets because that's the protocol, just to make sure. And when he did that, the ferret died, which should not have happened if the vaccine was just swine flu, because that's what it was labeled as. As they started looking at the vials, it turned out that some of the vials had actual avian bird flu with live viruses in them. So here's what happened, folks. They were unmarked. All the vials that had live bird flu, the labels had been ripped off, and they were also included with the swine flu. Now, if those labs had mixed all of them together, which is what they usually do, it's called reassortment, if they would have mixed them together and inoculated anyone with those things, it would have caused a pandemic in Europe. Question, was it an accident to rip the labels off live H5N1 bird flu? Do you believe that, folks? It was just an accident? And by the way, all the other subcontractors also had the same mix of a potential soup that could have caused a pandemic back then, but it was halted and stopped. But Baxter International is guilty of doing this. Now, all of a sudden, we have a similar event happening. We have this flu that has surfaced, and it's a combination, they're telling us, of swine flu and bird flu and human flu and Asian swine flu. Very, very suspicious, folks. But I also find it interesting, even though Baxter was guilty of negligence, it's public information, by the way. Those of you that think I'm crazy and I'm making this up, Google this information. Google Baxter International swine flu. You'll find the story. It's all over Europe. Now, I find it interesting that Baxter has already been one of the chosen contractors to make the vaccine that they're going to be coming up with to deal with this pandemic that we are presently facing. That makes no sense, folks. The person with their hand in the cookie jar, the person with the smoking gun in their hand, is chosen as the wolf to guard the hen house. That makes no sense. But truth is stranger than fiction, and that's what I'm trying to say. Evil men are in this world with an agenda to depopulate this world, an agenda to get us to the New World Order. And the MO of these evil demon people is to create an emergency and chaos, and then to offer a solution, which is order out of chaos. Their solution, folks, the solution that always changes the rules, it always changes the landscape, and it always changes laws. Which leads me to my next point. Framers of the New World Order want their global government. So this present pandemic is a staged and controlled event, in my opinion, folks. I really see this. It has the hands of the New World Order all over it. This virus is man-made, and quite possibly it can be race-specific, but that can be changed at any moment. As I said, this present event can be used to change rules. Here's one of the rules that just got changed in the last couple of days, folks. The FDA of the United States just changed the rules about Tamiflu. Have you heard about that? Now, before, the label on Tamiflu said that it's not for babies under age 1. In fact, it was not advised for people that are at the teenage age or younger, because bad reactions have been happening for people that take Tamiflu. But now that label rule has been renounced, and anybody can take it. They can give it to newborns. And that's one of the things that I fear. I fear that many young people are going to die because they're going to take this drug, folks. Tamiflu. Also, here's another thing I need you to write down. Folks, if this story turns out to be a non-event, then praise God. I would love to be wrong about this. If it turns out to be where nothing really bad happens, I'll be happy. But here's one of the things I'm really concerned about. Because of this event, we can be seeing an even bigger event in the making, which is going to cause a lot of people to die, possibly. Now, a lot of the prophetic dreams that many of the remnant about police state, about incarceration, concentration camps, martial law, many people have been having those dreams, folks. This event can really get us to those days to fulfill all those. Here's one of the ways that that can happen. The Health Powers Act. Write that down, folks. Health Powers Act. And what that act is it's a template for all 50 states in the United States to follow, which would deal with a health emergency. Now, it says in there, in the event of a health emergency, martial law would take over. And it also says that the states could force vaccination programs on everyone. And there would be harsh penalties of incarceration without review or recourse. Forced inoculations, folks. In other words, we have a vaccine for this pandemic, and we want everyone to go to their local school and take it. If you do not take it, we have measures to deal with you. You will be quarantined. You will not be allowed to go to work, leave your house, or we can also house you in a facility to protect the rest of the public from you. That's what this thing talks about, folks. And at the moment, right now, we are at pandemic World Health Organization Phase 5, which is one level from Phase 6. Phase 6 is the highest level. If we get to Phase 6, folks, this very thing can be in play. We're talking martial law can be enacted where these very measures will happen. Now, some people might be saying, well, what's the big deal to vaccinate? They're just doing it for our own good. We should be vaccinated because I don't want my kids having this. I don't want to have this. Well, folks, regarding the swine flu vaccine, those of you that are old enough to remember, in 1976, there was a swine flu scare and vaccines were made in the millions. 40 million vials were made and a program was started, but it was very short-lived because 5% of the people that received the inoculation died and 10% were paralyzed for life. There were bad, bad side effects of this thing. Why did they try to do this in the first place? Because one person supposedly got swine flu, a soldier, and he died. Just one person, folks. Vaccines are not safe. And that's the bottom line, folks. That vaccine was a poison. Now, getting back to the big New World Order plan. Forced inoculations are a part of their wish list plan, brethren. But here's the question. What if the vaccine kills some people? And brethren, this is the part that concerns me. There are evil, demon-possessed people that want to depopulate this world. They are on record saying so. Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, Prince Philip, Ted Turner, the list goes on. And that's the part of the plan that they want to see happen. They want to get this world down to below 1 billion people. You know what that means, folks? That means that there's 5 billion too many people. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, it says that through pestilence and war, 1/4 of the world died. It's a lot of people. And then later on in Revelation, another third died. Are we near that prophecy? I don't know, brethren, but with the World Health Organization raising us to level 5 and possibly level 6, I'm very, very suspicious because so far all that we have had died officially, the number is 150 approximately in Mexico. Now, I've been hearing through the internet that that number is much, much higher, but for 150 people to have died and to start a global inoculation program under martial law, it's very suspect, folks. Something smells very fishy. And I'll be honest, I do not trust them because they have proven themselves to be a bunch of liars. So brethren, I have this to say. This is the part that starts to concern us. If a forced inoculation does occur, Please do as much research as you can so that you can make this decision on your own. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I will say this. I will not for one second even entertain the thought of vaccinating myself or my children with that poison. There's no way, brethren. No way. I do not trust it. So please, please do your research. Also, I'm going to be putting up some new articles that talk about how you can deal with your immune system to make it stronger to deal with this thing. Folks, we need to do all we can to educate ourselves about this. The scriptures do say that my people perish for lack of knowledge. There is practical preparation to deal with this thing and also spiritual, folks. So we need to do everything we can and take it seriously and educate ourselves and get full of this knowledge so that we can deal with it. Now, some of you that are listening to me right now may be saying that I'm fear-mongering. And to that, I say this. Brethren, I'm a watchman and my job is to warn you of what's coming. Why? So that you can just get scared? No, so that you can prepare yourself. That's what it's about, folks. Now, I do need to address the concept of fear and speculation, because if we're just driven by fear or rumor or presumption or speculation, panic can take over people and make them do the wrong things. And then if panic comes in, anxiety will come in, and the enemy would love to play with someone's mind and oppress them with anxiety. So I need to say this, brethren. This present swine flu episode may not be the final big pestilence judgment. This may just be part one, which may turn out not to be totally overwhelming here in the United States. What that means is it may start to slow down during this summer, but then there's a possibility that this thing could return in the fall. Much worse, much stronger, and more deadly. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because the Spanish flu of 1918 did the same thing. It started off in the spring, and it wasn't so bad, but then it returned with vengeance in the fall and in the winter, and 50 to 100 million people died. Please know this, folks. Please realize that I'm just speculating, all right? I do not know every detail of the matter. I'm trying to be a watchman and warn you with the information that I have. The Bible says that we know in part and we prophesy in part, so I don't have the whole picture. I'm just warning with the information that I do have. So please take this information that I'm sharing and you pray about it and you ask God if there's any validity to these concerns that I have. Now, aside from me speculating, I want you to know this, brethren, because I have been praying to God. I've been on my knees. I've been seeking Him very, very hard about this whole matter. God has not told me all the details about the pestilence itself, but for the record, we may be facing one of two things. A, this one may linger and increase, the one that we're facing right now, or B, it may dissipate for now and return much worse. If B happens, folks, it will be worse, because just like the false alarm of Y2K, there will be a lot of people that will turn off their vigilance, and if it returns, I have reason to believe that it will return worse. Why? Because the evil people in high places will make sure that it is worse this fall. And if it already has the stamp of man's hand on it, which we can document already, that's why I'm very suspect that it could return much worse. Now, regarding asking God for more information on this flu, when I was praying to God, God said, continue with the message of spiritual preparation. So brethren, we're going to do that. And folks, I need to be very clear about something. I am aware that it's very easy to just say Psalms 91 and just claim it. I'm aware that people tell that to each other. I'm aware that pastors from pulpits are saying Psalms 91, folks, and the people say, amen, I'm not worried. I could do that right now. I could read Psalms 91 and say, okay, folks, those of you listening to me, you're going to be fine, because now you're protected, because I read Psalms 91 and you read along with me. But would that be fair? No, it would not. And for those of you that may quote that with good intentions and with faith, and I know that you have good intentions, but is it really fair to say that to someone and then walk away? Because first of all, think about this, brethren. How do you know that the person that you're quoting Psalms 91 to really understands what it means? How do you know? How do you know that they know how to get there? For those of you asking the question, what is Psalms 91? Well, that's the promise in Psalms that says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a very famous verse that people quote that says, even though pestilence and plague is killing your neighbors on your left side and your right, you don't have to worry because you dwell in the shadow of God's wing. But let me tell you something, brethren. Please hear my heart. If there's anything on this broadcast that you could go away with, please listen to this and remember this. God showed me the terror that is coming. Terror, folks. Tears. Anguish. Pain. Brethren, there are going to be mothers holding onto the bodies of lifeless children in the future. And they're going to be crying out with their head tilted towards heaven's clouds, screaming, "Why? Why, Lord?" with gut-wrenching sobbing. How can I explain this to you, folks? God showed me that the distress that is coming is going to test every one of us in ways that we have never, ever imagined. A decapitating event is coming. I spoke about that already. I've published it. Here's the question. Is this it? Is this the event that's going to cause those things to happen? Now, I know that there are confident ones that are oblivious to the swine flu news. And I know that people go to church and quote their favorite verse and are not concerned. But I have this question to ask. What have you done to stop the virus bug from coming into your house? My friends, think about that. What have you done? The judgment is upon the land. And I ask this question, my friends, when the angel of judgment is walking down your street with a spiritual battle axe in his hand, will he just walk past your sidewalk? Is there something in your house to get his attention? Is your dwelling totally sanctified? Have you been marked by God and by the angel with the writer's inkhorn because you deserve to be marked? Because you sigh and you cry over the sins in your village? I've shared that story in Ezekiel chapter 9. Brethren, please go read it, Ezekiel 9. In that story, it talked about the judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem when God said, "I have had it," after he had warned the people about their sin and their apathy. And God called six angels that guarded Jerusalem. And he told one angel that had a writer's inkhorn to go throughout the city and to mark every person that sighed and cried. Every person that was grieved when they saw the open sinning happening in front of them, mark them. And to everybody else, he told the five other angels with destroying weapons to go up and down the streets, walk up every sidewalk, go into every house. And if they were not marked, to kill them and destroy them. That's the judgment of God, folks. And the only protection anyone had was because they had righteousness in their heart. Not because they knew how to quote a verse and go to church and spend their 1.5 hours of duty sitting on a pew pretending that they were Christian. It's because this thing was real to them and it was in their heart. And folks, that is my message. Do you sigh and cry? Have you been marked by God? So many Christians take the message of judgment lightly. And as a result, many people in the future will be wailing in agony because the judgment is going to make them part of the number that did not make it. My friends, do you have tiny children? Do you have tiny children? Do you have loved ones? How do you know that virus bug's not going to get them? What have you done to spiritually stop it? When I was seeking God, folks, in the midnight hour, during my Statue of Liberty episode, he told me, and I didn't share this part back then, but I'm going to share it right now. Listen to this, folks. God said, "Pray for your children's protection like you've never prayed before. And when you pray this, that your children are not separated from you. Pray that you can stay together." Did you hear that, brethren? Why would God say that to me? I don't know. But when he told that to me, folks, it was heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching at the thought that our children can be stripped from us. And when God said those words, it hurt so bad that I was just travailing before God. I was talking to a friend of mine, Benjamin Baruch, recently, and he was sharing that he saw in a vision martial law soldiers taking children, stripping them from the arms of their parents, from their mothers. And he told me he could not stop weeping when he saw that happen because of the wails, how horrible the cries of emotional pain and anguish were to have your children taken away from you. He told me after he had that vision, all he could do was sob in his living room floor and cry out to God because it hurt so bad. And folks, this is just a vision. This is just a shadow of what's really coming. And it caused that much pain in my brother's heart and myself, folks. When God shared that with me, it caused pain. But that was a shadow of what's really coming. God said, pray that the children stay with you. It hit hard, folks. So my friend, what I'm sharing is real. And it's coming. And the saddest part of this whole matter is that many, many, many of you listening to me right now are not spiritually ready or prepared. You have not gone into your bedroom and locked the door and fought for the lives of your little ones. How many, folks, how many, I ask, how many have said, God, I'm not getting up from this place until I know that you heard me? That's what wrestling in prayer is all about, brethren. It means having a death grip on the horns of the altar. It means shedding tears for your loved ones. It means saying, God, I cannot leave this place. I need to protect my baby. I need you to cover my baby with your pinions and your wings. Folks, as the remnant, we must aim higher. As remnant, it means that we're different. It means that we walk on a road that most of the others refuse to walk on. As remnant, it means that we're willing to take inventory. It means that we're willing to look inside some of our own closets and do a house cleaning. As I was praying recently, I asked God, I said, God, is this pandemic it? Is this the thing that you wanted me to warn about? God, what do I tell them? God said, continue the warning message, and you challenge them to pray for their loved ones. And folks, you know, today we live in a microwave generation. Today's Christian culture lives with the nano quickness of time and thinking and results. And because of that, many people live off a tiny, low-calorie scriptural hors d'oeuvre of the Bible. Little snippets, a verse for the day. And as a result, many have Psalms 91 on their fridge. Some of you might have it. And here's the truth of the matter, folks. Many people that have Psalms 91 hanging on their fridge do not have it hidden in their heart. They're not living it. He that dwells in the secret place, what's the secret place? It's the chamber of God. It's the throne room. It's the holy place. Folks, I challenge all of you that are the remnant. Psalms 91 is more than a t-shirt. It is a lifestyle. So here's the situation, brethren. We're living at the potential beginning of history-making events. Events where there will be death and sorrow. But we do not want it coming to our house. We do not want it coming over our loved ones. Folks, how many of you heard that in the last days, the remnant would rise up and shine with God's glory? Well, we're staring at those days right now, folks. So now we need to learn how to become those elect that God talked about. We need to become those. And it's not going to happen by the status quo and continuing the lifestyle that we're used to. It's not going to occur by us being satisfied with an empty gospel. So step one, folks. Rule number one in this lesson, write this down. Your victory will never exceed your prayer life. Remember that, brethren. Write that in your Bible. How many want victory? Well, how's your prayer life? Our example, Jesus prayed always.
Well, Nathan, I want to pray, but I don't break through. I feel like the heavens are closed. I can't hear God's voice.
Are they, folks? Are the heavens closed for you? Now, I need to address that. Let's address that and talk about it because this is serious. We need to touch any element that would prevent God from hearing your cry. If the heavens are closed for you, it could be for a variety of reasons. But I must be truthful with you. The number one reason for most people, even though they don't want to admit it, well, let's look at the scriptures. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter 24. You need to look at this, folks. Psalms 24, verse 3. Look what it says. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who is it, folks? The person that likes to compromise with one foot in the world and one foot in the church? The person that's faking it? The halfway Christian that has a secret affair at work? Folks, we need access to the hill of the Lord now because of what we're facing. You need to get through your petition for your children. So who can go there? Well, what does it say? Verse 4, he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Brethren, you need effective prayers now so that God can hear you. And the number one sabotage of prayer is, as Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. If you want God's protection, folks, for your family, but you have sin in your life, according to this verse, God will not hear you. You see, my friends, the purpose of judgment is to get us to repent to God and confess our sins to Him. And you can't keep your sin and still get a free pass from judgment. It does not happen that way, folks. So please hear me. God was very clear when I was asking him. He said, have them repent and pray for their loved ones. Those of you listening, you cover a wide audience. There's believers and unbelievers out there. There's seasoned Christians and newborns. I welcome all of you. But if you're away from God right now, I say this with love. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. If the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, I challenge you to get along with him right now. Give your life to him, my friend. In fact, if you have to just turn this recording off and you go hide in your room and you cry out to God and you give your life to him, send me an email if you need help with prayer and I'll pray for you. My email address is watchman@watchmanscry.com. But God is bringing back to his fold those that are away. If you're a prodigal, time is now, my friend. If you've been playing with the world, sleeping with the world, fornicating with the world, now's the time, my friend. The day will come when the door of the ark is shut. We don't know what we're going to be facing. We don't know, brethren, but the time is now to get right with God. The time is now to purify our hearts and to cover ourselves with his blood so that we have pure hands and a clean heart. My friends, repentance is very important. I've done a few audios on repentance on my audio page. Go and listen to those if you need to understand them better. And also in an upcoming audio, we're going to talk even more about repentance. So that's step one, brethren. Clean hands and a pure heart to come boldly before the throne of grace. You want to go to the hill of the Lord and pray for your loved ones? Close that door of your prayer closet. Hide yourself in the chamber, folks. Hide yourself in God and you cover everything for the things that you know you should not be tolerating. Now, for those of you that are right with God, and your hands are clean, and you have a pure heart, let's go from there. Now, God said, have them pray for their children. Our duty as parents, if we have little ones and children, our duty is to pray for them, brethren. So let's talk about another person that prayed regularly for his loved ones. In Job chapter 1, the book of Job, you remember the story? He was a righteous man. He had 10 children. And one day, Satan came to God. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous. He's upstanding. And Satan said, well, of course he loves you because you've put a hedge of protection around him and all that he has is protected by you, God. That's why he loves you. You see, folks, right there, Satan is complaining, no fair. You protect him, God, no fair. You put a hedge around him. So, brethren, I read that and I like what I see. Job had a hedge around his family and himself. But why? Was it because Job had a neat scripture on his refrigerator? Is that why? Was it because Job would put verses on his clothes and so God put a hedge around him? No. In Job 1:5, look what it says. 1 chapter 5. After Job's kids had a feast, Job would rise early and he sanctified them and he offered burnt offerings for them. He prayed for them. He brought them to God. Brethren, think about that. That took work. That took time. It was an effort. Job stood in the gap for them. It was time and energy, and it was not just a 5-minute prayer on his way to work. Now, it is true that the rules were different back then. Animal sacrifices were the way of forgiveness, and today it's different. But if you have children, brethren, we have a new sacrifice. We have the blood of Jesus, which is even better than an animal. But if you have children, brethren, I challenge you to pray for a covering and for a hedge to be around your children. How? In the prayer closet. It means that you have to spend time with God to do it, just like Job did. If they're older, you still lift them up to God for protection. Go to God, folks, and you fight for them, and you wrestle for them. This is not done casually. And a lot of people have never really learned how to spend time with God. But if we're the elect of God and the remnant, we need to do it, folks. So you tell your loved one, you tell your wife, you say, I'm going to go into the bedroom and pray. Brethren, we need to aim higher than we have ever aimed before. We need to change our lifestyle. You can do it. And God challenged me to tell you to do it. Folks, do we really have a choice? Now, sin will keep you from wanting to pray. And if some of you are in sin, it's going to be a battle to overcome the resistance. Your flesh will resist wanting to pray. Force yourself to do it and you go and you fall on your knees and you say that to God right off the bat. You say, God, my flesh does not want to pray to you. I have so much sin on me. I am participating in darkness. God, forgive me. Help me to stop. You give your life to God, folks, and he'll give you the strength. That's what it's about. On your knees, folks. Humbleness. Humbling yourself before God. Now, what if you have a child that is rebellious and away from God? What if they're older? If they're older, folks, you still pray for them. If they're in rebellion and away from God, you stand in the gap. You cry out to God for them, folks. You do warfare for their souls. And that takes some time and effort. That takes longer than now I lay me down to sleep. And it may also take fasting, prayer sessions. But it's time for us as the remnant to learn these things, folks. Jesus had many, many long prayer sessions. Now, I want to address the question of what if you have children that are away from God, teenagers or older ones. Some of you may have that very situation and you're very concerned about them. And you may ask, do I have any suggestions? Actually, yes, I do. Now, this audio is getting longer and longer, and I'm going to give you some homework of things that you need to do and some scriptures that you need to research and pray about. But let me mention this, brethren. There's a story in Hosea about Hosea's wife, Gomer, who was a wayward harlot. She had lovers. Hosea was a prophet, and his wife was a harlot. And if you go to Hosea chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, there's a little insight right there about something else that occurs in the spiritual realm. Look what God says in Hosea chapter 2. God says, I will hedge her way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but not find them. Then she shall say, I will return to my first husband, for that way was better than now. Now, what is that talking about? When we're backslidden and away from God, we don't go in the path of God straight ahead. We want to go to the left or the right, our own way. But God, in the invisible realm, can put a hedge over someone so that when they try to go to the left or the right, they're going to step into thorns and it's going to hurt, so they'll get back on the path. God guides them through a hedge of thorns, in other words. He guides the path. So possibly you can pray this for some of your backslidden loved ones. Now, I must warn, though, and caution, do not demand God to do this, because this can only be done if it's His will and if it's for the best. Possibly sometimes God does not want to do it because He sees the whole picture. But if you go to God, if He gives you permission to do it in your spirit and peace about praying this thing, then you pray that. Pray a hedge of thorns around a lost loved one. All right, folks? Now, I must warn you also, this is spiritual warfare. This is getting into the depths of actually battling the powers of darkness. If you do pray a prayer of thorns around a loved one, folks, I would challenge you to also fast, because when you do that, you are going to anger the enemy. He wants to hold on to his lost souls. He wants to hold on to your loved one. So when you do that, folks, the enemy may fight back on you, and if you're not full of the power of God, it could wear you out. He may even attack you. So this is spiritual warfare, folks. This is the meat. This is more than just quoting a little scripture for something. This is the battle, folks. So I'm giving you that spiritual truth, and you pray about that, brethren. Now, regarding the hedge of thorns, if God approves it and He puts it around somebody, that person's going to feel miserable. I just want you to know that up front, folks. They're going to be miserable, and they're not going to be comforted. And you know what? When a person is away from God, they don't need comfort. They need to have the heat turned up. And that at times can be a challenge for a parent, because you don't like to see your loved one uncomfortable. But folks, think about this. Do you have any wayward children and you're just enabling them and pampering them? Here's something to pray about, folks. It does take the wisdom of God. Seek counsel about this. But perhaps if you have wayward children, they need some tough love. Now, as I was saying, they will be uncomfortable. It has to happen, brethren. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Do you remember what it took for him to turn? It took having him living with the pigs and sleeping with the pigs and eating their food. You remember that, brethren? That story is found in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15:17. Look what it says there, brethren, if you can turn to it. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and here I am perishing with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So he came back, folks, after he was away from God, because he realized. The key part of the story, brethren, is in verse 17, where it says, when he came to himself. Another version of the Bible says, when he came to his right mind, when he realized. That's what it took, folks, the realization of where he was. Now, I have a question. Think about this, brethren. If the prodigal son's father had Western Union money to the prodigal when he ran out, would he have ever gone back home? I don't think so. Or maybe it would have taken longer. So he needed to be allowed to have some discomfort. And that's not easy for a parent to watch their kids go through, especially if they're away from God. So if you have a wayward child, brethren, the hedge of thorns may be a way to pray for them. But again, I need to qualify it that it needs to be God's will, because you don't want to be fighting God's will and demanding God. But if you do it, brethren, you're going to need to have strength and patience and be strong while you're in that season. Don't give up, folks. We are indeed living in very, very strange times. So we have to rise up and we have to learn about the power of prayer. As the remnant, we need to add that to our list of attributes that we know how to do. So it's time for boot camp right now. It's time to learn how to battle these things now. And it's time to get these skills right now. Now, some of you may say, I hate praying. I've tried it, but I hate it. I don't like it. Let me say this, folks. The reason you don't like it is because your flesh is too strong. That's why. So at the beginning, there's going to be a discipline to force yourself to do it. But as your spirit gets stronger, that discipline in prayer will turn into a delight. Amen, folks. Well, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to wrap this up. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person that's listening right now, God, and I ask for your presence, God, your spirit, your wooing, your comfort, your peace to be upon every person right now, God. Lord, if there's some people that are struggling with sin, let your Holy Spirit do his work in their lives to bring them back to you, God. Lord, I break the shackles of bondage upon all those that are prisoners, Lord, upon all those that are being attacked by the enemy. In Jesus' name, Lord, set them free. In Jesus' name, set them free, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God. In Jesus' name. For every listener that has loved ones, that has children, Lord, show them how to pray and to lift up their loved ones. I pray for every one of those loved ones, God, for the little ones, for the innocent ones, God. We lift them up, Lord, to you. I pray that you would protect them with your hedge. Let every person listening understand how important it is to be marked by you, God. And God, let there be no fear either upon any person that's listening. Perfect love casts out all fear. God, let them have love for you and love for their family. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. Bring us back together, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for listening. If you've been appreciating these audios, I ask you to consider asking God how you can support Watchman's Cry. Folks, we're making a difference. This message is warning people. I'm getting emails from people all over the world that are coming back to God, that are repenting, that have stopped habitual sinning. And those of you that are supporting are help making that possible. So continue that support, folks. Those of you that aren't able to give, I just covet your prayers, brethren. I covet your prayers for protection, for wisdom, and also for my family. And also for this ministry to continue to be making impact. Well, folks, stay strong, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time.